What's going on, world? Welcome to another edition of the Rhymes Like Dimes podcast. Your boys, Peter.
Peace.
Mohammed.
You.
Myself, Yemi. Today, we are reviewing Little Brother's new documentary, May the Lord Watch. Before we get into all that, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the Rhymes Like Dimes podcast. Like this video. Check out the catalogue. We've got a lot of stuff on the YouTube channel for you to digest and take it in. If you're listening on DSPs, be sure to leave us a review. 5 stars, if you please. And yeah, spread the word about your boys. Very much appreciate it. Now, we're doing something different today. Usually we do like album reviews, but today we're doing a documentary review. And it's revolving the lifespan of Little Brother, the rap group containing Fonte, who has a bag of different other names. I'm sure Peter will share.
New Tigolo.
Rapper Big Pooh. And Ninth Wonder. Mm. You right?
Yeah, it's just because you said, never mind.
What?
No, because Ninth Wonder, innit?
What's wrong with that?
I don't know, man.
I felt
weird about him after the thing.
What?
After the doc.
I hear you.
Yeah, I thought because he's Ninth Wonder of the world in China.
See where your mind goes.
I don't know.
You see where your mind goes.
I thought that's where we were going.
Oh, I see what you done, though.
I'm saying.
Come on now, fam.
Although, I'm not going to lie. Watching this documentary, I actually realised what Ninth Wonder meant.
I can't remember what it meant.
I never knew that he meant Ninth Wonder of the World.
Oh yeah.
I just assumed that.
I can't lie.
I never did.
At your big age.
Yeah. Yes. It is what it is. But yeah, the documentary is produced by Rap Portraits. Shout out to Yo, who used to write for DJ Booth, I believe, a very esteemed hip hop writer who's behind the Rap Portraits team. And it's essentially just a documentary that tells the story of Little Brother, their origins, their beginnings in North Carolina, going through their catalog, their story, the kind of ups and downs, the kind of reunion in 2018, the release of their project, May the Lord Watch, which is the same name as the documentary, in 2019. And yeah, just a consolidation of their journey and how they've grown as men, how they've grown as musicians, and everything in between. It's got loads of different interviews with, obviously, Fonte and rapper Big Pooh as well. Ninth Wonder declined to be in the documentary. They're also members of the Justice League on there, which is the wider collective of which Little Brother is part. Family, friends, critics, all that good stuff. And yeah, we're just going to speak about it now because I feel like it's a very interesting one because Little Brother is kind of those like, really celebrated underground rap groups that maybe should probably get more praise and get more attention than they do. But when it comes to like real hip hop, they're very much recognized as that. When they first came out, they were very much seen as like the successors to like Tribe and Stump Village and things of that nature. And even Fonte alludes to the fact that in the documentary, the reason why they were called Little Brother is because they saw themselves kind of in the same ilk as those groups, Common, Mos Def. But what are we? We're kind of the Little Brother because we're the new generation. So very interesting documentary. And yeah, man, boys. What do we think of it? I mean, obviously, Peter, being a big Little Brother fan, you've kind of, I imagine you knew a lot of the story already.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what were your thoughts?
I enjoyed it, man. It was really, like, it was good to watch. I don't think I discovered anything new. I think what was quite interesting to see was the issues of Ninth, man. I didn't realize it was as bad as it was because I remember when like they decided to go on hiatus or break up, I remember that whole back and forth between Ninth and Fonte specifically. But I didn't realize that things were kind of building up before that point. So that was like disappointing to see, man, because it kind of like destroyed the illusion that I had about them as a trio, man. Like, I don't know, I always have this idea of a lot of my favorite groups that, you know, they were like all good friends and close and they just still loved each other, innit? So to find out that that wasn't really the case was disappointing, man.
Pretty much from the beginning as well.
From jump, innit?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And even to the point where I was waiting for him to kind of come in on the documentary. And when he went in there, I was like, oh shit, he's not a part of this. So that was really disappointing, man. But even before the doc came out, when they did their last album, and I initially heard that Ninth was producing it and then he wasn't, I started to think, okay, yeah, maybe there's been issues there, innit? Because this isn't the first time this has happened. And then obviously the doc kind of confirmed that. But that to the side, yeah, it was good to watch, man. It was good to kind of like, you know, see their story be televised the way it has and kind of show to a new generation and that. and kind of understanding, like, I guess how they really came together and that, like the foundation of their group and that. So that was cool to see. I generally enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, I think, let's just address Ninth Wonder. He comes across as a bit of a dickhead in this documentary. Can't even lie.
A dickhead or an introvert?
Well, there's being an introvert and there's also not joining them on tour. There's also try, especially on the latest album, essentially trying to dictate the direction of the album.
Especially when you've been ghost for so
long. And trying to get them to record it on his time as opposed to like it being kind of more of an organic thing, like trying to send beats.
He didn't want
to
be there.
On emo. It comes across as he never wanted to be there. And granted, as soon as the listening comes out, he is hot property. He obviously produces on the Black Album. So his star is kind of ascending, but it seems as if it's at the expense of Little Brother in a sense, because then as they're touring, they're not a trio.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And it gets to the point where even Fonte and Pooh are like, yo, this ain't really, well, we're Little Brother, you ain't, because you're not about.
And so, it's like a dark glim amongst them lot as well, just whenever they go out to tour. And it's just like, yo, where's Ninth Wonder at? There's only so long you want to do that. There's only so long you want to put up with them questions. Do your head in after a while.
And even when he did decide to come on tour, the one in London, he brought his wife. It just wasn't where it was supposed to be. And then obviously him and Pooh had that disagreement, and that kind of just sealed fate in a lot of ways. So I don't know, man. And the fact he didn't even participate in the doc as well. I don't know.
Yeah,
man.
I wonder why that was. Because I don't think anyone's ever asked him.
Because they're still not on good terms. I think with Ninth, I might be completely wrong, and if I'm wrong, my apologies. I feel like if he can't dictate it, then he won't do it. So you see the way with the beats where he wants to dictate.
But it's the Little Brother's story.
Yeah, but it might be a thing where he wants to dictate
on
what's
his
told.
Terms, yeah.
And what's his and the story. Narrative that's being put out. And if he can't dictate the narrative that's being put out, especially from his side, he might not just want to be a part of it.
He could have been a part of it, though, man, because I think we've seen documentaries of like superstars that have people in the doc that don't get along with the main protagonist of the documentary. So I'm not really trying to hear that, man. There's no reason why Ninth shouldn't have been involved in this.
I'm talking about from Ninth's position, though. My Ninth might be like, if I can't dictate this, I don't want to do it. Or if I can't control my narrative. Because then it's just going to look like it's bickering. Because then it's going to look like they tell one story, Ninth tells one story, and it's like, it's up to you or whoever decides.
But that's
the truth.
Always going to be the case, though.
1,000%, but you, not on a Little Brother's doc. I think that's what Ninth's issue might have been, where he's like, he might do it future on, but he might just be, at this point now, I want to dictate what's being told, and if I can't, I'm not getting involved. And he looks like someone that likes to stay from behind the scenes.
Plus,
anyway,
we gotta remember that I think him and Fonte are cool now. I don't know about him and Pooh. So without the benefit of knowing his actual reasons for not being in the dot, we can only assume that because of whatever tensions there are, plus maybe a mix of wanting to dictate it on his own terms, is probably why he thought, yeah, nah, this ain't for me, sort of thing. But I agree, he definitely should have been on the dock just for that balance. I feel like if I'm gonna criticize this doc in any way, it probably did miss a little bit of that balance of him. But at the end of the day, if they can't control that, then that's what it is.
Because it was very one-sided.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we didn't get a nice perspective. We didn't really get anyone else that was close to Ninth's perspective who also saw it. You know what I mean? Yeah, we had the manager, but I think because he's still very close with Fonte and Big Pooh in it. So it's a bit, from my perspective, it was kind of shrouded. I shrouded it in doubt a little bit, you know what I mean? Because
they're only going to tell their side.
Precisely.
Did that affect your viewing of it?
No, I just took it for what it was. Do you know what I mean? Once I knew that Ninth weren't involved in that, I just received it the same, innit? So not really. I don't know, man. Like little things like hearing them, like Fonte talk about the fact that they slept on Pete Rock's like basement floor and that. That's the sort of shit that I like.
Obviously.
Do you know what I mean? I loved that. And I loved hearing like the first song that Fonte and Ninth did together.
Paper Lines.
I loved that.
Hard.
Just shit like that. I didn't really care too much about the drama. I didn't really need to know about that stuff there, man. I wanted to know about the music and the process of them making the first album and then the second album specifically.
Even the way, was it Questlove? The song sounded from Questlove because on the website.
I was about to say the same thing. Yeah, I think this documentary made me appreciate the importance of
OK Player.
Yeah, man. The forum.
I think it's the best like hip hop website, best music website, I think.
You know, people back in the day, he would have been all up in there.
Absolutely.
Of course he was.
All up in there.
I'm a soul query in the two, so.
Yeah, come on now. You would have dropped music in there as well. Sorry, I don't mean to.
His profile would probably be like PD or something.
No, it would have been
PEEDI, some shit like that. Dumb shit like that.
Sick.
Yeah, man.
PD Crack.
You know what I'm saying?
Sick.
But like 4Ks instead of however many brother has.
I'll open your third eye at Peter.
Or at open your third eye.
That's disgusting.
I hear you. But yeah, I mean, I thought that was really, really interesting.
Yeah, that was dope.
I also thought, and shout out to Dart Adams as well, who was on the doc. He was explaining the effect of radio kind of and the politics of radio in around the mid 90s that kind of created, in a sense, the kind of underground rap scene. So he talks about the Telecommunications Act, which essentially meant that radio stations were not obliged to essentially play any and everything. They could play just like the hits, especially the big ones. And a lot of big parent radio companies were buying out a lot of the smaller ones that would have been playing pretty much all kinds of hip hop. So it just meant that radio became a little bit more homogenized and we were only hearing what was mainstream. And that's why forums like OK Player were important. And that's why Little Brother were able to start up and grow a community because of stuff like this. So it's very interesting the way politics kind of, I suppose, affected hip hop in a sense, but also kind of helped it in a way. Mm. So, and obviously Little Brother being the main beneficiaries of it. What did you think of the Dotmo?
No, you guys kind of spoke about it. To me, it was just more eye-opening, the behind the scenes what's going on. Like, I didn't know as much as certain people here will know everything that's going on.
Yeah, he's the almanac,
isn't it? He can tell me when the next album's going to come out. What's it called? Yeah, but it was just more kind of the website, the way they man came to light, the knife issues behind the scenes. Knowing that little things. It was more like you said, just the little things, like the Pete Rock stories or the first song they wrote. That's what I more like when I listen to when I watch my docs. It's more, I don't care about the drama. Just give me the little anecdotes of this is how something started, or this was the first time we created this album, or this is how we came to agree on this. All Around the Color, it was a dope doctor. I'll be honest with you. The only issue is I wish Knife was there just so it's a balance thing. But all around, it genuinely, I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll be honest with you, man. Just hearing the backdrops of the stories and hearing I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I wanted them to go into the music more, man. I don't think they did that enough. Mm. I wanted to know about the process behind making Speed.
Of course.
For instance. The whole listening album.
But even
the
story when they were like, what record label was it? And when it's the album was dropping and it was dead body in the record label.
Minstrel Show.
Yeah.
Because they spoke about what was happening around the album as far as from a label perspective, as far as from the scene in hip hop at the time. But they didn't actually talk about the music. And I think that was missing from the documentary. There wasn't any standout points where they were the process to making that song was important to the trajectory of the rest of
it.
Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that was missing. Typically in music documentaries, you might get that where an artist might talk about a particular song because of how big it was for them. But we didn't really get that with Little Brother in this doc.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of sped through the listening. And the Minstrel Show was kind of in the lens of the kind of label struggle, which I feel like if anybody wants a screenshot, a snapshot of the difficulties of a so-called underground label being signed, underground rap group being signed to a major label, you see it in this documentary because shit was crazy.
But I get what you're saying, though. They sped through the middle of it. It's like they told us the lead-up story, they really went into depth about it. Mm. Then afterwards, they really went into depth. But it was just the middle bit of the actual music. It might have just...
Yeah,
I feel like they pushed through a little bit.
Yeah, I think the main bits were obviously the listening. They spoke briefly on that. The Minstrel Show, the lens of the label struggles. You have their Gangsta Grillz tape,
which made me appreciate
just how, and the fact that DJ Drama was able to say yo, Gangsta Grillz is what it is because of Little Brother. Mm. That made me appreciate not only Gangsta Grillz a lot more, but obviously Little Brother a lot more as well, because I didn't know they had a Gangsta Grillz tape, and I didn't realize that it kind of came from that foundation. Mm. Obviously, I know it for Wayne and Jeezy and all that stuff, but I didn't realize. So they do that, and then kind of after that, it then becomes more of the personal stuff. You don't really hear about anything else, and a little bit of the foreign exchange.
Yeah.
Shout out to my man. What's his name? The producer.
Can't remember. It's escaping me right now.
Excuse us, but shout out to you. But it very much talks about. There's a lot of tension in this documentary, and I think even with the Minstrel Show stuff, I don't really understand what. It's Atlantic, right?
Yeah.
What were they expecting? What were they expecting? I don't understand. And even a song like Loving It, for an underground rap group, that's a pretty good attempt at a commercial tune, right? But, I mean, the actual content of the album, like what they're rapping about, what they're talking about, especially around that time as well. Obviously 50 Cent is riding high and mainstream rap is at this kind of apex. Like a major label thinking that a group like Little Brother, who is so hip hop to the core, would be able in any way to either compete or you'd even try to get any kind of commercialism from them. Some labels just don't understand who they've got.
But you would just hope that whoever you're signed to will do what they're supposed to
but
do.
But they didn't want to sign to Atlantic, innit? Yeah. I think that's what the doc showed us as well. They didn't want to sign to you, but I think something happened to where, I don't know exactly what happened, but I remember they were kind of forced to sign to Atlantic, if I'm not mistaken.
From what I remember, I feel like Pooh was very okay with the idea of signing with a label and he wanted to pursue that, which then caused later tension between him and Fonte. I think Fonte was generally kind of apprehensive about it.
Yeah.
And then obviously when the Atlantic stuff went down, and I guess shout out to Atlantic because they released them without any trouble, he decided he just wanted to be solely independent and obviously that caused the tension.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, man, it was, I don't know what they were expecting, but generally my thoughts, I think it was a really good doc as well. Outside of not talking about the music, I don't necessarily mind that too much. I think it was more so just a dedication to various touch points in their lives as men and as a group and the history of it. I think for a general overview, if you want to get to know Little Brother and who they are, this is a good entry point. And let me know just how revered they are as well. Obviously amongst hip hop heads, you hear it a little bit, but probably not to the same level as maybe like a Tribe or a Slum. Mm. But it made me appreciate them just that little bit more. I did think that the Fonte Pooh beef was interesting as well because of like what it was. Like, Pooh, I want to try another major label.
Yeah.
Fonte's like, nah. and that was kind of like it. And
it was a shame though to see, it shows you life and death in it, because it's literally life and death is what brought them back together.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's
Fonte was dead wrong for
not shouting him.
For not shouting Pooh after his health troubles.
Yeah, especially I think he said knife followed him as well, innit?
Even knife followed me.
Yeah, that was absolutely crazy.
Yeah. But I almost think that, just going back a bit, I almost think that like the albums, the Minstrel Show and the Listener need their own documentary. Because no, particularly like the minstrel show, because that message is quite powerful. Like, and I feel like they touched it, but they could have gone deeper with that, man. Like, to kind of like curate an album about how you feel the music industry is going
and what you call it. And
that's I love that, man. You're challenging like your fellow black artists, man. And I just feel like there's a that story could have been told in such a bigger way. The so Mitchell maybe it needs its own dot.
The Mitchell Show, I agree with you, just because of the how powerful.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It holds weight.
Yeah, like
you're,
man.
Because you're mocking it, essentially.
Yeah,
you're
like, look
mocking
what, you're
what
saying.
The people
yeah,
are on.
Absolutely.
Like, actually, I think they showed it in the interview with Charlamagne, if I'm not mistaken.
A little bit, yeah.
But it was just like, what did you mean by that?
Yeah.
But it's all right. They could definitely deal.
Charlamagne has not changed in 20 years, bro. his approach.
Yeah. He's changed now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But like, you could tell early. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He hasn't.
Yeah, it was crazy.
He didn't change one bit.
Can a production company give Peter like 100k to just produce this documentary? Because I feel like that's the only way he'll be happy.
You'll get busy though.
I think I'll do it right.
You'll get busy though. You'll get busy.
Right,
I'll give you that. You'll get busy.
Listen, I don't doubt that. But yeah, listen.
There's not much I would change. Just more music. And a bit, yeah, just a bit. Yeah, that's it probably. A ninth. But if I couldn't get a ninth, then maybe like more hip hop artists that could speak to how important Little Brother was.
No, I was glad it was meant. I personally appreciate the approach of when solely just the guys
who were
the artists.
Who were there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer that when it's 90% of just, I don't care if I see rappers, as long as I hear these guys talk 90% of the time.
No, but I feel like if you were to include other rappers, I think you get like a better understanding of why.
The respect and the way they're
revered. Yeah, like Little Brother are revered as they are. Because someone like a Cole who's from North Carolina, I think he could probably speak to Little Brother's 100% influence, you know what I mean? So why not?
But also the people that watch it know they're respected. Do you know what I'm saying? If you watch, like us not watching Little Brother's, it's also like, there's a reason why watching it, because we respect them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's
tricky. Like, I don't know if a J. Cole fan would just tune in for the sake of, because he's on it.
Maybe, you never know.
I'll get what you're saying though. Sometimes you want, you love to hear the love.
Yeah, because ultimately Little Brother are, but in the new generation especially, like, I'm pretty sure they're not really that well known. So someone like a J. Cole fan probably wouldn't naturally do that. But to Peter's point, if you did have someone like that on the documentary, then they'd probably check it out. So I do hear that. I think there's not much I would change about the doc. I feel like yes, the music thing is lacking a little bit, but I feel like the personal stories do make up for it. Mm. Like, obviously, when Fonte talks about his being abused, mm. I think that, like, is obviously, it's a real critical point of the documentary, and, like, I guess it helps you understand who he is as a person a lot more as well. So I feel like that kind of makes up for maybe the lack of musical commentary, because it touches into his life and who he is. So I kind of appreciate the more kind of tender bits, and even the stuff like being in the hotel waiting for the Made a Law Watch album to drop and then just hugging each other, like,
yeah,
that's the bar, innit?
Yeah, the summation of how far they've come, and like the fact that they had to beef, rebuild their relationship and just come back stronger. Yeah, man, I think it was just more of a celebration of them as men. Mm. 100%.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Which I definitely enjoyed it. Yeah, the album was really good too.
Man, really good.
Really good, man.
Really good.
Fonte
really
is so cold.
He's so cold, man.
I felt sorry for Big Pooh though, man. Because Pooh was nice to me, man. It's difficult when you're in a group with someone as great as Fonte.
Did we have a conversation about Fonte in Cyprus?
Possibly.
I think Melo was talking about him, innit?
Possibly.
No, because I think Melo... This guy, man.
Possibly.
I think Melo rated him highly, so I think we was proper talking about Fonte for a while. But
possibly.
People want to be childish, I make it sound.
Bro, Drake's just laughing, man. He knows how ridiculous that is. Talk about Fonte in Cyprus, man.
If you want to take it left,
there's a lot of rappers mentioned in Cyprus that I would never... Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
It's terrible. Oh, nah.
Someone mentioned some guys that wore masks, like the Jabba Wolski. That's leaving. Still don't remember what they... What were they called? The Owls? Night Owls or something like that. I think they were called the Owls. The Night Owls or something like that. Check them out, the Night Owls. If they
be quiet, man. But yeah. Yeah. I think it was a good documentary. I think it told a really interesting story about just like where hip hop and certain elements of it have gone. Obviously, we spoke about OK Player, we spoke about, you know, the importance of that. And kind of just the trajectory of underground rap in a sense. It's kind of interactions with the kind of more mainstream elements of it, or what we deem to be mainstream, all through the vessel of Little Brother. So yeah, man, I think it's very much a documentary of those times that we can definitely go back to. It kind of makes you, well, at least it made me want to go back to those times, especially being at the university in North Carolina, just seeing them like create. Like the fact that Fonte and Ninth Wonder met just because Ninth was reading a Source magazine and Fonte was like, yo, and all that kind of stuff. So yeah,
insane.
Just nerd stuff like that kind of just becomes the stuff of legend. Kind of made me appreciate that. Like simple things like that just creates like lasting careers that, you know, will be remembered. Mm. So yeah, man.
It made me think about like all the other documentaries that I really want to see from our hip hop artists, man.
No, the list is long, man.
Yeah, like because obviously I'm from that ilk, man. I'm a backpacker in it at heart. Do you know what I mean? So you know what I mean? I need like a Raucous documentary.
Oh.
I need the Roots documentry. Oh. Yeah, I mean, I've had De La, I've had Tribe.
Souls of Mischief, we've had that.
Souls of Mischief, I haven't seen that though.
Yeah, it's good.
I haven't seen any more you want to name?
The whole Native Tongues.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Black Sheep and them, man.
Come on now.
Jonah Hill was supposed to bring out a TV show about the Native Tongues.
He was? Oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened to that.
That'd have been dope.
He was? Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill, yeah. He's like a massive hip hop head.
If I speak.
Listen, you were listening to Elvis, relax, man.
What did you say?
You were listening to Elvis, relax.
Elvis stole from black people.
Exactly. Wait, you're watching the film and you're listening to his music.
I walked into that, man.
You don't be thinking sometimes, bro.
Nah, I don't know why I said it. I just wanted to blame him for something. It was a shit film. But yeah. Jonah Hill or hip hop head?
Yeah, big time.
Oh yeah, I'm not surprised, man.
Yeah,
I'm
big
not surprised. I remember
Big Nighties rap head.
I watched the
Leo DiCaprio.
I was thinking of Michael Rappaport.
Oh yeah, him too.
I hate him.
Ugh.
Yeah.
He's a big Leo DiCaprio.
He did the Tribe documentary.
Who? Rappaport?
Yeah, I think he did.
Rappaport's a scumbag, man.
Yeah, he did.
Mm. I don't want to get into it on the podcast, but yeah, I hate that guy.
I need a Black Star documentary.
I like that.
I mean, I
can't lie.
A Mos Def documentary.
A Mos Def documentary was slapped. Yeah. Come on now.
So no Talib Kweli documentary?
No.
Yeah, put you.
I need
that's why I said Black Star. Both of them, innit?
No. Look at me.
Watch it for Mos Def.
I need a Yasin Bey one. I need a Yasin Bey doc.
I need a common documentary.
Keep that away from me.
I need a proper detailed Soulquarians documentary.
Yeah.
I would love a DITC documentary.
Ooh. That'd be good.
That'd be good.
Bad Boy, no?
Maybe we got to do some of these docs.
Oh, no, we've done Bad Boy. We've had Bad Boy.
Bad Boy.
Maybe we got to do some of these docs.
Maybe, man. Production companies, give us, you know, 100K.
We could probably do it.
We could smash it.
We could do it, man.
I was going to say pause, but there's no point. But we can do it.
Boy Better Know.
No, because I said we can.
Yeah, Boy Better Know.
BBK.
Yeah. Bro, BBK ones, yeah, man, absolutely.
Do we add Shorty to it or not?
Nasty Crew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on now. Heartless Crew.
That'd be like 20 minutes.
Rough Squad.
Heartless Crew or not?
Heartless Crew. Yeah, why not?
Come on now.
Why not, man?
Mm. We could do it. Yeah. We could do our telly. We could do the UK equivalent of it.
Yeah. So we're just pitching ourselves as filmmakers now.
We could cook it, man. We got Daniel in the cut.
True.
Once we've done once I've done the family tree.
How's
you.
The bloodline going?
Brother, that's detox. That is detox.
How's the bloodline going?
The family tree is Peter's detox.
I'm gonna call it the bloodline for that one.
Shut up.
How's the bloodline going?
Yeah, I'm saying that, man.
How's the family tree going?
Listen, before the year's up.
Oh, okay.
You got my word.
Shit.
Remember
10 months, 11 months.
Yeah, man.
Before the
I'm
year's
busy,
out.
I'm a busy guy, though,
before
man.
Before the year's out. I'm gonna put that in our GC
now. Before
the
year's out.
Alright, cool.
I'm gonna have it done.
For context.
Listeners. No, don't even tell them.
No.
Don't even tell them.
Why not?
Because it's a secret. Hey, I don't want anyone taking the idea.
No, but we've been waiting for this since pre-COVID.
Don't worry.
Crazy.
All right, I'll put in the GC, yeah?
Time
is
40
years out,
man.
Family tree.
I'm a J Electronica the team.
That's what they
tell you, bro. All
right, cool.
J Electronica the team. But yeah, any last words on May the Lord Watch?
Salute to them both, man.
Yeah, man, salute big up, man, both, big man. Up.
I salute to the third one as well, Knife, but salute to Fonte.
The third one. But he was top billing, though. Remember that bit in the doc where Pooh was talking about he had top billing over the rest of them, even though it's little brother.
That's why I said, though, it was annoying. It's disrespectful. But then that's why I was like, it was annoying when they went on tours and all you hear is, where's Knife at? I understand their frustration. I fully understand their frustration. It was like, bro, this is, it's us, man. It's
like, they're not two dope MCs.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Like, you're producing, but we still need to rap over this thing. So I understand. And I don't want to say Knife got arrogance. So I don't want to say he got arrogant or whatever, because I don't know him personally. But
he might have.
That's what I'm saying, but you know, I don't know him personally enough to say he's arrogant, innit?
I don't want to speculate, man.
That's why
that's what I'm saying.
That's what I don't want to do. But what I do want to do is salute to Lil Brothers, man, and Knife.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, man, salute to all of them. Salute to the Justice League. Salute to everybody that was involved in the making of this documentary. Yeah, man, I feel like it's going to be one we go back to. So,
yeah. Facts.
Feel you. Sweet. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on the socials at RhymesDimesPod, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And yeah, we'll see you soon. So until then, take care, stay safe, stay blessed,
stay black,
and peace.